Perfect.
Okay. So the Mayor's Office of Economic Development advances Los Angeles by developing sound policies, creating strategic partnerships, prioritizing investments, and delivering key services that will accelerate pathways to economic opportunity. This morning, Billy Chung, Senior Director, Economic Development in the Office of the Mayor, will provide an update on work related to the aerospace and defense manufacturing industries and highlight the programs and tools available to local businesses. I've had, and I'm really apolitical, but I've been sort of known Mayor Garcetti since before he was elected. I happened to meet him at an event, and been on the Aerospace Council and on the Export Council, and I really get a seriousness about helping businesses. And, you know, active, not just talking about it. As Senior Director of Economic Development, Billy works on economic policy across key industries such as aerospace, biosciences, sports, tourism, technology, manufacturing, real estate, film, and entertainment. Previously, he was Vice President at Capri Capital Partners, a private equity and investment manager with $3.7 billion of assets under management. He is responsible for sourcing and underwriting acquisitions, as well as equity and debt investment activities, including origination, direct and joint venture investing, and portfolio risk management across the firm to various separate accounts and commingled funds. Billy holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in economics at Wesleyan University, so this is a guy that's been on the firing line, like most of us. So please join me in welcoming Billy Chung.
Thank you, Ivan. Thanks for that. I've never characterized it as a firing line, but although, since you put it that way, that probably does sound appropriate. As Ivan mentioned, you know, I work for Mayor Eric Garcetti, and I'll just say, you know, I have obviously worked in the private sector, and I wouldn't have worked for him if I didn't believe in kind of what he wanted to do and what he wanted to accomplish. And his vision. So with that, I'll just jump into kind of start about just a general overview of what our office is, because I think most people that are not familiar with city government, really, especially on the business side, don't really know where to go to and kind of where to go. And I'll kind of talk about that a little bit, especially with me being here. You have my contact info. There's going to be more contact info here of who to contact if you have any issues or problems. And then kind of talk about some of the stuff that us as office have worked on. That's going back from the beginning of this first term and kind of what we're working on now and going forward. So, so as I mentioned, this is just kind of an overview. So specifically within the mayor's office, we have an office of economic development. And that's technically in the mayor's office, and we're structured under four different teams. So we have a business development team, international trade, small business, and then a real estate function. And then with those, and then we have a staff of about 30 within these teams. So business development is just basically, it's what it is. It's biz dev. It's, we have a person assigned or a liaison to each industry, kind of like, you know, a banker, you know, that assigned a portfolio of industries. So we're here. And so as I mentioned, there's four teams just in our office, that in these, and this staff is mostly dedicated towards policy and business assistance. So business assistance means working directly with companies or businesses because they have an issue or they need help. And so it's a little bit of both policy and case management. And then on the other side, we also oversee departments, certain city departments that may be relevant for some of the companies that we deal with. So the airport, the Port of Los Angeles, building and safety, planning, and the Economic Development Workforce Department. And so these two departments work in tandem, especially if there's a business that's expanding. So we have worked with some manufacturers and some aerospace companies that have either are expanding their facility or redeveloping their facility. And then the airport and the port, obviously there's a lot of cargo moving in and out of Los Angeles. I mean, it's the entry point for a huge majority of the whole the country, to be honest. And there's going to be nexus to, that you'll see later in the presentation, to the airport and the port. So this is our team. And as I've mentioned, the business development team has liaisons directly towards certain industries, and there's one towards aerospace that I'll talk about as well. International trade, there's a lot of synergies with the manufacturing and aerospace companies here from abroad that, again, I'll kind of talk into. Of course, LA being an international city, we want to promote imports and exports, and so I'll kind of talk about those opportunities and what we're trying to do to help those companies here in LA. So here, this is taking a little bit of a step further on the policy and strategy specific towards manufacturing and aerospace, and why manufacturing. Los Angeles area is still considered the manufacturing hub of the country. I mean, it's for the greater Los Angeles, whether you have aerospace, fashion, and just plain manufacturing, it's a huge component of the local economy here, and it employs almost 400,000 people here. So we recognize it as an important part, and yes, it has its challenges over the past few years, and we've recognized that. And we're trying to do what we can to help that. Part of it is this new kind of movement towards kind of smart manufacturing and just manufacturing that's taking on some new technologies, and we're trying to bridge that in certain respects of providing more resources for some of the local companies to make that leap. And again, I'll talk about that in a little bit. But this is your aerospace and manufacturing liaison, Adrienne Lindgren. She came from Goldman Sachs and their small business unit. That's her email and her number. And she is our person dedicated to that industry. Her full-time job is that. And this is kind of some of the other programs and initiatives that we have. And I'll kind of go over briefly the Advanced Manufacturing Partnership of Southern California, or AMSTOCAL. It's basically a collaboration of local partners on a regional level, not just city. I mean, we're not myopic in terms of, or territorial in terms of, you know, we only want to help City of LA. For aerospace and manufacturing, that kind of thinking is just not going to help. We have to think of it as the region, and the mayor's very good at convening the region. He convenes all the Southern California mayors regularly on issues, and we've had one regarding aerospace as well. And so we've worked with the mayor of Long Beach. We've worked with all the mayors to advance this. And so AMSOCAL is an example of that. It's a partnership with CNPC. I mean, you name it. I mean, a lot of the manufacturing, either from the private sector, institutional, are involved in this partnership. And what it is it's a federal designation or federal initiative. And Los Angeles won its designation about 2 years ago, where we're primed for, we have preference for just over $1 billion in federal funding for aerospace and manufacturing. And so we're trying to pump a lot of that money into this area. Long Beach is a strong partner for us. The Valley is a strong partner for us. Palmdale, Lancaster, they're a strong partner for us. And so again, we can only be strong by having a regional partnership, and this is kind of the entity that comes with that.
Billy, maybe I'm on the executive board of AMSOCAL, and so to be clear about it, it focuses exclusively on the aerospace infrastructure. It doesn't do any other type of manufacturing, and its coverage is from the northern border, it's by county, so it's from the San Luis Obispo County across to the eastern California border, all the way south to Mexico. So it includes a lot of, it's just about every companies, universities, economic development corporations. There's probably well over 100 organizations that are now involved. There are six pillars. Like one is for looking at the supply chain, one looks at exporting, I forget, and one's on workforce and training. And there are projects under each of the pillars. And some of them go for government funding. Some of them are just projects that have nothing to do with government funding. Every year, I think we have one or two meetings a year, biannual meetings, and the videos are all posted on the AMSOCAL website.
And they are really worth seeing. We just had one in March. We had one in August. There are webinars. For example, they interviewed, who's the president? Kelly Johnson, the president of Ace Clearwater. And they interviewed her and posted it, and it was gold. But she's just one of the leading CEOs in aerospace. So that's what AMSOCAL is. Okay.
And then, subset of that, or just in general, we do a lot of federal lobbying and regional support. Again, it's for the region. So when the Air Force base here was threatened to be shut down, we lobbied the Defense Department to keep it open. We just recognize that we just need to keep, you know, these facilities open and operating because they mean so much for the region. Yes, it's technically outside of the city of Los Angeles, but they contract a lot with the local suppliers here, and we just need to keep that chain alive. And even we also lobby on behalf of Northrop Grumman to win the long-range bomber contract over in Palmdale. It's like a $60 billion contract that would create thousands of jobs and just, again, have a strong presence in Southern California. And they won it successfully, which is great. And so, we help with that. You know, the mayor has great relationships up in the state and still in D.C., no matter who the president is. We have strong relationships, and we leverage that as much as we can. So we're a great resource for that. And then there are some of these other programs that I'll actually go into, but I'll just mention now the Mayor's Expert Council, which Ivan is a member of, and then the Mayor's Export Program, and this just general business assistance case management. But I'll go into a little bit of these in detail. So the Mayor's Export Council, as you see, established a couple of years ago, made up of 12 private sector executives, of which Ivan, as I mentioned, is a member of. And, I mean, this is the objective. It's basically to help the local businesses here export abroad. And again, you know, there's only so many opportunities in our borders. The world is at our fingertips. You know, we have that at our disposal with technology, being so close to the airport in the Port of Los Angeles. We're building the infrastructure to help companies export abroad. And so it only makes sense for us to do that. And so we are starting to create a support system to help companies, no matter where they are in terms of readiness, whether they're a small business that has no business plan, doesn't have the capital yet to export, or whether they're an established business that has the capital, the cash flow, the balance sheet to do that, but just doesn't have the relationships abroad, internationally, we will help that. And I'll kind of go into that in a little bit. And this is how we do it. Our kind of motto is connecting LA to the world, as I said. I mean, it's an international city. And this is how we go about it. We're meeting with a lot of general consulates throughout the world. And again, I mentioned helping companies, no matter where they are, in terms of educating them and providing them resources, finding global markets for them, and then going on trade tours, which I'll go into a bit. And this is bringing those companies to those markets abroad.
Sorry to keep interrupting.
That's all right.
But you may not be clear about what a trade tour is. You may confuse it with a trade mission. So a trade mission is when the mayor goes, and there's lots of photo ops and, you know, like that kind of stuff, but you don't necessarily come back with much business. That's not what these are. The trade mission, you not have the mayor go. It's business to business. And the intention is whoever goes on that trip comes back with either a strong opportunity for sales or a PO. I mean, it's really sales-oriented. It's not just talking. That capture, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
And there's been, well, you'll talk more about it later.
Yeah. And so, as I mentioned, I mean, we're all the general consulates that come to our office, and we have extensive meetings with them. Some are ceremonial, which is great, but some are, a lot actually are business related. I mean, they want to increase trade between our two countries. I mean, everyone wants to trade with not only the United States, but Los Angeles. I mean, it's just there's so much going on, so they can't afford to miss out. So I mean, there's just protocol matters of hosting foreign government and business delegations, and so you know whether it's government regulated, they bring in banks, you know, people of high net worth. I mean, they just want to invest and do something in LA. And as Ivan mentioned, just having those matchmaking services of connecting businesses to other businesses that makes sense. You know, we're always recruiting business and capital into LA. And for those from abroad looking to set up shop or invest in LA, we just kind of provide concierge services. We're just helping them. So the point of this is just having that relationship with the rest of the world and how we kind of leverage that for the companies here. And then the Merit Export Program, which I mentioned before. So this is our plan. This is our plan to help businesses here export abroad. Launched in October, and these are the partners that you'll see. The Mayor's Export Council is where we kick the can around for the export program. LARIX, our tourism board, Michigan, is part of the city, and then the U.S. Department of Commerce. And so why does export matter? I have notes on this. So export trade and investment create jobs, and the export growth generates numerous benefits to the economy. I mean, these are well-paying jobs. And so those are the jobs that we're focused on. Yes, kind of retail and service-oriented jobs are great, but they're not careers. These are careers. These are, you know, the kind of jobs and careers that you can raise a family on, that you can kind of have potential growth and then just grow and hire more. So this is where we want to put our energy on. 96% of the world's consumers live outside the U.S., but only 1% of the U.S. companies export, which is kind of way out of whack, so we want to balance that. Yet 81% of projected economic growth will occur outside of the U.S. in the next 5 years. So helping LA businesses reach these growing markets is critical, as every $1 billion in exports supports nearly 6,000 jobs. So that's the game plan for us. And so these three objectives of outreach, advice and assist, and trade tours are kind of the fundamental elements for this export program. The outreach is, again, reaching out to local businesses. So we do have, with the help of the Export Council, with the help of Ivan, we have staff that reach out, either cold calls or through relationships. We reach out to local businesses here and just try to let them know what resources they have at their disposal, from the mayor's office into the city. Advise and assist, we do have programs to help those businesses set up for that, for exports. And then the last touch is the trade force and actually taking these businesses abroad to meet other businesses and hopefully finding contracting opportunities.
Are you going to go to the screen more?
Yeah. So this is the advise and assist. So this is a LARIX program, and this is an educational program for executives that take them through this crash course on getting them ready to export. And so our next one is June 20th. So it's a three-day, full-day class, and these are for executives. This is not to send, you know, your lower-level people. This is a crash course for executives, and this is more prone for the type of company that is kind of like just below ready to export, and this will kind of take them to the next level. We had one a few months ago in Pacoima, and so we kind of take it regionally. We had it in the valley, this one's in downtown. And it's, again, so June 20, July 18, August 15, we're still signing up, so if you want to sign up, you can contact Elizabeth Ginn, and I have flyers for this if you're interested. So you can roll, or if anyone is interested, anyone can register.
Is that discount still available? Or is that
it is. So there's a so this is a partnership with Department of Commerce and CMTC, and this Export Tech program has kind of a scholarship, but it's kind of a pay it forward kind of concept where I think the initial fee is
$750.
It's like $750 is the initial fee. Technically, the total program cost is $5,000, but the initial fee is $750. You don't hit your scales, so the metric is
100,000.
Yeah, a minimum of $100,000 of additional export sales. If you don't hit that metric or target, you don't pay the rest of the fee. But if you do hit that target, you do pay that fee, but that fee is used for another company to take a class in the future. So it's kind of this paid forward where you're kind of being generous and charitable to another company to sign up to this program. So February, we held it in Bitcoin, though we had six companies. And if anyone's interested, again, I have flyers. And it's a good program to get executives ready for the next step.
Let me pop in a second. Sorry.
Yeah, that's good.
But the export program is really three parts. And the first part is maybe where you or your clients are. I don't know whether it's for me or not. I don't know anything about it. That's that first step of just letting people know, this is before export day, just informing people, here's what it's about, here's what you got to do, so that at the end of that part, you can make some decision about whether this is something you want to invest in or not. Okay, so that's the first stage. For companies that have decided, yeah, I want to take the next step, this looks like a really good thing, that's Export Tech. That's sending two executives. And coming out of Export Tech, you have an export plan. It's not just sit there for 3 days and have a great time. The reason they want the executives there is you should come out with a plan, an action plan for your company on exporting. Okay. And then the third step is now implementing that, which is what Julie's going to talk about now.
Yeah. The trade tour. So again, not to be confused with trade mission, as Ivan noted earlier, this is with staff. So this is our mayor's office staff taking these companies abroad. And so this is our tentative schedule for the next fiscal year, I would say. So we went to Melbourne and Abu Dhabi, and Melbourne, we went to the aerospace show. And so you'll see there's a few aerospace objectives here. And again, this is we know aerospace is important for the region. Not only that, but aerospace is the largest cargo category flying through LAX. So LAX, our airport, also has an interest in seeing aerospace industry be successful here. So it's all connected, all tied, and we realize that. We realize how important that is. So for the Melbourne trip, we brought seven local aerospace companies to the Avalon Air Show, which is one of the largest aerospace and defense trade shows. Some of the local ones were Avio Tech, St. Van Nuys, DCX, Toll, that's in downtown, Vester Tire and Rubber, Tri-Model, a company in San Diego. So we made introductions, we established, we had appointments, we attended meetings, the U.S. commercial officers from the Department of Commerce, and kind of guided them through all the business contacts in Australia. And these are all set up ahead of time and arranged ahead of time. So we're not just landing and just trying to just flimsy around and try to meet people. These are all prearranged meetings. So there's no time being wasted. So that trip was supported by the Department of Commerce and LAREX. Again, the company exhibit costs were offset through financial support through the U.S. SBA and the STEP program, the State Trade Expansion Program grant, in partnership with the governor's office. So, again, some of these companies, they may not be able to afford some of that cost bringing booths or exhibits, and so we helped defray some of that cost. So especially for that Melbourne trip, our participation helped to generate an interesting idea to organize a supplier seminar with LAX-based airlines performing maintenance, repair, and overhaul services. So the goal was to create sales opportunities for LA companies that service airlines at LAX. And so while in Sydney, they made a stop in Melbourne and in Sydney. They gained support for the idea from Gareth Evans, who's the Qantas CEO. So we're kind of following it with him to kind of develop interesting ideas and opportunities for that. And then, so our next trip coming up, which is just around the corner, is Mexicali, Baja, California. And our team will be taking 9 companies to Mexico to promote export opportunities. It's not to, you know, encourage companies to move to Mexico. No. That is definitely, I told my team, hell no, that's not happening. But there's a large presence of suppliers and manufacturers out there. So this is strictly, again, a contracting export opportunity. So there's 5 even from LA, Air Electro in Chatsworth, United Precision Corp in Chatsworth, Mar Engineering in North Hollywood, Neo Technology Solutions in Chatsworth, Still Car Enterprises in Northridge. So this trip is a partnership with the United States, Mexico Chamber of Commerce, U.S. Department of Commerce. So companies in Baja, California require input, and 95% of supplies are imported into Baja. So there's nothing organically being driven there. It's all imports, mostly all imports.
Is it still open for people that want to go on it?
Or the gate closed yesterday?
Okay.
I mean, if you are seriously interested, I can find out if our team is still taking and let me know. You know, we'll try to make it happen. But again, these are trips that are pre-arranged, so they have a lot of stuff set already, including like lodging and transportation. But let me know if you're interested.
Let me make a comment about that. The Aerospace and Defense Forum signed an agreement with the Aerospace Cluster of Baja, California, just about a year and a half ago. And then Tomas, who's the chair of that, spoke at Orange County a couple of months ago. And I went down to Tijuana when we signed that agreement, and I learned a lot. What many may not know is they really want to do business with the United States in both directions. I mean, it's not just all, you know, here making stuff, buy from us, but they're interested in using U.S. as suppliers for what they're doing. And there seems to be an equal interest in both things. So it really is an opportunity, you know, like Steve's going down there, and not only to, you know, see whether there might be some suppliers there, but are there people interested in buying Steve's product? And they really are interested in doing that. So
really, when you set these meetings up, you actually look at what each of the companies that is going on with what they manufacture, and do you arrange meetings with prospective buyers of their products?
Yes. Yeah. And that's where it's having that partnership with either the U.S. Department of Commerce, or in this case, like the Mexico Chamber of Commerce, kind of having a mutual partner on the ground there helps us. And so we kind of gauge those companies that come to us and register what their needs and interests are, and then we kind of transfer that and talk with our counterparts, wherever that is, and see what makes sense. I mean, they may have specific asks or specific meetings that they want to have, and we'll try to procure that as much as possible. But yeah, I mean, it only makes sense if it's of interest to that company. I mean, and that's where the most efficiency and, you know, productivity happens. So there's some of that going on.
Are there instances where, you know, a company will sign up and let's say you talk to your counterparts in Melbourne and they say, you know, there's just no need for that or no demand for that at this time. You do then tell the company, you know, we haven't been able to set anything up, maybe the next one?
So far, no. Not to say it won't happen, but we kind of, what the companies want, we try to make happen as much as possible. And that's where the mayor's office helps, of having to, and I've seen it from the other side, you know, companies that make overtures to other companies, sometimes there's nothing. You know, they don't return calls, they don't return emails. But when it's arranged through government channels, it's a little different. So that's where our value add has in this partnership and arrangement. We've noticed you know, it's gone a ton farther. And so that happens, that hasn't happened yet. And then, so Singapore is our next targeted aerospace trade show. That's a huge air show in Singapore. So, in the middle, there's clean tech, cosmetics, lifestyle in Hong Kong. So we're trying to reach, the rest of the world, basically, where there's interest.
So are you a gatekeeper for this? And for example, I'm a member of an organization called IRC Global Search Partners. 45 countries, 80 cities. So we have counterparts of me in those locations who have clients there that may have interest in doing business here or there or and so on. Would you be a good guy for me to help clear that as to what might work on the other end?
We would love to. Here? Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. We would love to. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, we recognize we can't do this alone, and that's why I'm here. And that's why we work a lot with the private sector, because you're the practitioners. You're the one with the boots on the ground that knows what's going on, that knows what goes on. Either you have clients or colleagues or partners in other areas, in other industries that know. And so we want this great partnership of networks. So absolutely. And then, so moving off that now into the more the business assistance and case management. So this applies more to a business that needs help. And this is the many different ways that we help them. We always want to cut red tape. That's a big thing with the mayor. We want to make it simpler. Government isn't always seen as, the simplest, and we're trying to change that. We want to make it easier and quicker for businesses to get a response, to get help, anything. And just a lot of hand-holding, because again, it's more about we're trying to be more customer service oriented. We want to help the businesses as much as possible. And, whether it's a service they need, we try to expedite it, there's streamlined permitting process. And the easy access, the connection to different city departments, again, not knowing who in the city does what, we want to help with that. And I'll kind of talk about that in a little bit of how that works, because we're setting up an infrastructure within the city where it would be a lot easier for any business, not just aerospace and manufacturing, but any business to approach the city and get the help that it needs quickly.
I'm assuming all that's free?
Oh, yes. All free. So this is the network, right? So, this on the government side, here's the city, county, and state. Many people can't differentiate between either, and that's understandable. They don't know where those lines are drawn, what the city does and doesn't do, and where the county steps in, and also with the state. So we're tying up this partnership, and we do have a good relationship throughout the county and the state. So we have that. And then we're tying to all the departments in the city that have anything to do with businesses. And so it's almost 40. And so we have this, we're starting to pull all this network together. So it's basically, we have a business liaison in every city department. And the point is, once a business comes in here, whether it's city, county, state, and says, I have an issue. And if it's in the city of Los Angeles, we can help. We can tie it into this network and get the response that we need. Because there may be some things that it's not under our jurisdiction necessarily, but it could be with this person. But it's an easy referral rather than just going in this way to this person and this person not knowing where to refer that business. And so theoretically it should work that everyone should know what everyone else is doing, and it's a safety net for coverage.
Let me tell you the story, because it may actually expand beyond this, but one of my clients wanted to put an installation near Long Beach Airport, and there was available land and all that, and they were running into all kinds of problems from, I guess, the airport was just giving them a problem. And he had actually come to the conclusion he'd almost given up. And I referred him into L.A. and said, maybe they can help. And so this is where Billy's saying, when government talks to government, it's a little different than when we talk to government. And so somebody in L.A. talked to the Long Beach government. They have a mayor or something, whatever they got. Talked to that government, head government, and explained to them they were having this problem. And then they got everybody on a phone call. So the aerospace company, Long Beach Airport, the Long Beach governor, and the government, and the L.A. government all got on a call, and it got resolved. And the guy's now got a facility at Long Beach Airport. So, I mean, so it's not always just with, the reason I say that, because it's not always just with a problem with L.A. city itself. But my experience has been, if you're an L.A. business and you got a problem, they'll help. Because, I mean, this is all, you know, everybody talks about jobs, but we know what you have for jobs. You got to have a company.
And then, so this is kind of a highlight of some resources, whether it be tax credits or just programs or websites. And I have a handout on this that I'll be able to pass out, and it'll have more information on what they do and where you can find it. But I could go through these in a little bit. Locate LA is just a web portal. It's a partnership with DWP. And what it does is just like, it basically calls from all the real estate listings. And so if a business is looking to move into LA or relocate into LA, they need space, Locate LA. And it's the GIS interface where, you know, not only they'll look at a vacancy, they'll see what resources are there, who's represented, kind of where to go to. So it's a good website. LA Business Portal is a new portal that the city launched that helps businesses start so they can file for business tax and look for other resources and kind of a one-stop shop. LA Incentive Finder also kind of looks for resources or incentives based on what the business is and what they're moving to. Case management program is kind of what I talked about in the earlier slide, of just helping the business navigate through the city. Industrial development bonds, if that is a program within the city, although money is pretty cheap. You know, I will say a lot of the businesses go to the private sector for debt and capital just because it's so cheap. It's probably not as attractive right now. But we do have those, have that program at our disposal. We do have financing programs, but again, you know, it's kind of, you know, on par with private market, you know, maybe a little bit higher. California Competes Tax Credit, that's a state program where that's real money. And so basically that's a tax credit program that's a revolving application. State has several hundreds of million dollars set aside where it's for businesses that are scored based on the number of jobs they create and the dollar amount of money invested. And it ranges from, you know, any type of business, any size. LA has had its fair share of awardees, and that's a pretty good program. Use tax rebate is basically just on utilities, so there may be credits and rebates based on that, especially with aerospace. They use high levels of energy, both electricity and sometimes water. R&D, that's a good tax credit program, because if some companies have a huge R&D component, it's again, you know, the R&D side angle is, you know, you're kind of innovating technology, you're kind of bringing up new technology, so we want to incentivize that. Workforce training, we do have that at our disposal, so we have ties to community colleges, workforce centers around the city. We deploy dollars from the federal government into those workforce centers, so we train, and we try to have that again towards kind of innovative technology. Utility planning, again, for utilities, because manufacturing aerospace use high-tech utilities, and then to the Department of Energy Small Business Voucher Program. I have a handout that lists all of this, and it has a blurb on what these are and kind of a website or where to go to find more information. So I will have more information. This is just kind of a general synopsis. And then that's it. So if you have any questions, let me know, and I'll be here. Happy to answer anything, you know, issues or...
I was wondering, if we get more efficient, we have 400,000 jobs here, and we can effectively do 300,000 people now. We got 100,000 people we've either got to take care of through growth. Even if you do, you have 100,000 people displaced because they don't have those skills. What are we doing to help with that?
And that's the workforce side of it. And that's the, so a big part of it, and I can, there's a larger story to this because, I mean, that's an absolutely good question, and especially with the manufacturing side. Yeah, I mean, those skills are not as in high demand, and so that's where the workforce training for us, either working through the, with the federal government to bring in more resources to train at the community college level, the vocational level, even at the high school level, we're trying to encourage that as much as possible, whether it be in the curriculum or after school activities, of having those real skill sets, not only just for just manufacturing the basic skills, but the skills for tomorrow. What to equip them for tomorrow. So it's a kind of double-pronged approach where we're trying to educate the youth here in LA to equip them with the skills and talent of the jobs for the future in terms of whether it's, you know, what that looks like from manufacturing and aerospace, but also creating those jobs, opportunities, because, you know, you can't have one without the other, right? You've got to bring them both. If you're training those guys for the job of tomorrow, you need to have the chops to place them in. So it is a double-pronged approach that we're working with, again, kind of a lot of partners here in educational and institutional field. In fact, one of the first meetings the mayor convened when he first became mayor was he convened all the presidents and chancellors of the local universities, UCLA, USC, Caltech, Cal Poly Pomona, Long Beach, the UC schools, the community colleges, the community college chancellor, and talked about workforce training. I mean, it's a huge priority for us. We have a separate unit. It's called the Mayor's Office of Economic Opportunity. That is their focus. That is their focus. So it's absolutely right.
And there's a program underneath MSOCal as well.
I want to thank you for being here. I'm a resident and have my business out in Santa Clarita. Mm. And I'm one of 51 members that are investors in the Santa Clarita Valley Economic Development Corporation. And so I can assure you, as that group, and I've only been with it for a year, year and a half, as that group has gotten focused and aligned on bringing businesses into Santa Clarita Valley, it's really been effective. Mm. And the relationship with you, the city, sure, the county, you know, this is really a pleasure to have this exchange.
Sure, sure.
For us.
Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
At the county level, LA County, what's the closest group or function that relates to aerospace and defense that helps coordinate similar issues at the county level?
Yeah, there's an entity called the LA Economic Development Corporation, or LAEDC. It's a county, it's a quasi nonprofit / government. So we do work with a lot of the colleagues there. They also have a policy side. They just came out with the aerospace, you know, report on the area, I think like a year or two ago. But they also have business assistance. So they have people assigned geographically. So there's like a Valley person, downtown, Central person, a South Bay person, and we kind of work in tandem, you know, also with the state. You know, sometimes, you know, if there's a huge either crisis or just priority for us, sometimes, I mean, we've gone to meetings where all three were represented, state, county, and city. We're all represented at a meeting. We'd go to a business and see what we could do to help. One example was American Apparel. I mean, I think, you know, there's only so much you can do in that type of situation, but we did whatever we could. I mean, we met with four CEOs in the past 2 years. But we wanted to send a message that you're important to us. Yes, you have other things going on that are outside of the government control, but we're here for you. Whatever we can do to help, to keep you in LA, to keep those employees here, what can we do? Can we find you another facility? Can we, you know, bring in GWP, which does all the utilities for you? What can we do to help? So there's a strong group for the county and the state.
First off, a lot of compliments on the workforce issues that the city's doing that. No matter what the regulatory area or rebate area, that can be a little bit of, a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. But in the workforce areas, there's a lot of good things going on. And I think that certainly helping the smaller and mid-sized manufacturers, that's a great area that people should be focused on. Some of the other ones, if you're looking at sales tax rebates, some of the different credits that you can get, well, I'll tell you, the amount of time it takes for a company to do that is, it's one thing if you are American Apparel.
Yeah, a large, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If you have a staff of 100, employees or something, you can have somebody dedicated to finding the systems and the methods
right. To
calculate that and track it. But I've tried it with some of my companies, and just to figure out some of this stuff, it can take 2-3 days.
Yeah,
worth of it. Because it's not your niche, it's not really what you do to make your money. And so to just evaluate it, read through the paperwork,
right. Do
it right, do it wrong, and then finally submit it, and then God knows it may be right or wrong.
It's
a challenge. So it's kind of smoke and mirrors in that aspect of it. It's beneficial. But it's maybe a 50-50 thing, for 50% worth of time and money that you're putting into it, and you will get another 50% back. But there again, 50 is better than nothing.
Right.
Still,
yeah.
Chasing money.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a good point. That's where we recognize that, and that's especially with the small and medium businesses. You're right, because the large ones, they just have the resources to do that and the wherewithal. And that's where a lot of the hand-holding for us and kind of, so we've, I've talked through with companies of, what their options are and to help them. Here's all the paperwork. Here's what you need to do to talk to. And kind of, even when they submit, then what we do is we talk to the people that are the decision makers in the background. So we help lobby, but you're absolutely right. And we're trying to make it easier. And we're either trying to make it simpler and quicker and having kind of a one-stop shop, and we haven't identified something that has, it collapses everything to accomplish that. That is our goal.
Have you ever gone into a company, and again, I'm talking small companies, like 10 to 40 employees, and small as even, important to you, but have you ever, if you have whatever your core set of paperwork is, four or five different areas, to where you can go in and mentor a company as far as looking at here's the common data sets, that if you do set your books up in such a way that it makes this process, because it is an ongoing process, not something that generally speaking you do at one time.
Right. Right.
It's something that you can do year in, year out.
Right.
But have you ever done anything like that to where you help them establish the processes?
Up front, yeah. And some take some of it, some decide not all of it's for them, understandably, and there is kind of ongoing, especially when it's a government program, whether it's a tax credit or rebate, there's ongoing accounting, reporting that you have to do. So that's a reality that we disclose up front too. So they need to know that too. So we do kind of bring all the options and what it entails just on a time and resource level on their side. And we do have the honest conversation of if it's really worth it for you. And so, they're the best judge of that. We can't, you know, we're not tax experts, we're not finance experts, we're not lawyers. All we could do is kind of advise them on how best and kind of leave it up to them and their team, if they do, and their consultants, if they have, on what that decision is. But we do have that upfront consultation and conversation with them.
Okay, I'm Bill, you're going to stay around afterwards in case there's questions.
Sure. Okay. Absolutely.
So thank you very much. Thank you.